Junior just showed me Bulla Boy in his phone.
What you mean? He take picture of that good for nothing boy?
Shh, you don't want Bulla hair, you say that. You know she always say that's my good child.
So what he doing in Junior phone?
Oh, he there because the police looking for him. He on that wanted list.
Wanted persons in your phone now?
Yes, child. And when police want find anybody quick, after something happened, they can send picture direct to your phone. Go to Google Play or App Store and search for Crack Crime Bahamas, then pick install and it will go straight to your phone.
There is also a section on missing persons.
Yes, girl. Everybody needs to get this app so police can tell us right away when these people go missing. Just like an alert system.
Yes, it has numbers for Crime Stoppers Bahamas so you can call and nobody know it's you. Call directly to Miami and give the information without giving your name or anything about you. I tried the other day and when I hear Junior and his boys talking about where they hide those guns, I walk quick round the corner and call that number.
Call 328-8477 from Nassau or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is Wednesday, June 11th. It's a little after 11 o'clock in the morning. Once again, this is C.A. Nuri, and I shall be your host for the day. Before I get everything started, right, because we're talking about diabetes, right? And I told my story about me being a diabetic, right, and that journey. So I'm excited to have the guests that I have in the studio today. But before I start there, I want to extend happy anniversary to my wife. It's 20 years she put up with me. My Lord, that woman have patience like Job. She's a Jobette for sure. So I just want to make sure she know that I said it on the air. That's all when her friends hear it, say, oh, your husband recognize. Yes. Yes. Go call my wife. Tell her happy anniversary. Yes. And I want to shout out to my cousins, the deans, them, because they listen. In studio, we have Dr. Talika Chisholm Smith. Get her full name there. Who's a pediatrician and at the walk-in clinic at PMH. And also I have Mr. Shamal Forbes, who is the Vice President of the Bahamas Diabetes Association. But we today, we're talking about children who are dealing with diabetes. And they have a camp. And I said, they don't have camps for diabetes, for diabetics, do they? He said, no, they're putting on a special camp this year. And I said, man, that must cost an arm and leg. He said, no, man, that's free. Is he going to a free camp? We said it's going to be a free camp, all-inclusive food and everything, that we're going to be taking care of Bahamian kids to make sure they get the access to information with their parents and so they get a wellness lifestyle. And I said, okay, I need to hear more about this. So before I start everything, I need to find out more about this Bahamas Diabetes Association, because I didn't know it exists. And Dr. Chisholm Smith said, how come you don't know? You're diabetic. You're supposed to be a part of the group. So she's going to give me some details on how to join and all those who live with diabetes to join this association so we can get the regular information that we need to survive and live and have a thrive on this earth, right? So without further ado, Mr. Forbes, your mic all the way over this way. I need to understand give a history, a narrative of Bahamas Diabetes Association.
Yes. Good morning, Bahamas. Good morning, Mr. Nuri. Good morning, Dr. Chisholm. The Bahamas Diabetes Association is actually established all the way in 1986.
That long?
That long. Okay. Yes, it's a nonprofit health affiliated organization catered around providing advocacy, support, education, counseling for all Bahamians with diabetes. For this particular instance, we want to cater to the kids with diabetes. But for the Bahamas Diabetes Association, we like to offer services that cater to the persons living with diabetes that allows them to live a normal life, not be thinking that the disease or condition is a death or death sentence, but you can actually live with it. And for persons with type 2, they can actually put the condition in remission. Versus persons with type 1, most of those are children that they actually have to administer insulin on a daily basis. But I'm sure Dr. Chisholm Smith would get more into the science of the diabetes, but I just want to speak on behalf of the Diabetes Association that we welcome all persons living with diabetes and even the families and persons, caregivers, persons affiliated with those, because it takes a village. It doesn't affect one person. It affects all of us. And so we want to take control of everything and all things that's considered or actually affiliated with diabetes.
Okay. And before we move on to Dr. Chisholm to explain the difference of this type 1 and type 2, yeah, and especially how it deals with Bahamian children, how can I just hear about it?
Yes.
How do I join? Where do I sign up? Who should sign up for this Bahamas Diabetes Association membership?
Okay, for the Bahamas Diabetes Association, Bahamas Diabetes Association membership, we have a Facebook page. It's called the New Bahamas Diabetes Association. We also have a WhatsApp number, 828-4194, as well as you can reach us out at the BDA email at thebda2020@gmail.com. Membership is only $35. That covers the whole year. That's less than $3 a month and allows you access to education, counseling, of course, that we make sure that you're nourished with healthy meals every meeting. And so we also provide support groups as well as avenues and ways to advance diabetes and the access to diabetes care in the Bahamas.
And people like me who lacks in terms of following the routine, the regimen that your doctor recommend, right? Mm-hmm. But I want to be healthy, right? Mm-hmm. So does the Bahamas Diabetes Association give me like moral support? It's like, you could do it, Nuri. Don't give up. Stop drinking that soda.
Most definitely. We are most important, a support group. And so what we do is when we have our members together, we write out support meetings or we have a WhatsApp group. Or what we do is identify an individualized self-care, self-management care program that fits to CA Nuri so that it's not a cookie cutter, that it fits to your lifestyle and how that you can now manage your diabetes moving forward.
Good, because I work nights. And I need something that regimen for the overnight shift when I need to eat snacks.
Yes.
You need to help me on what type of healthy snacks I can eat.
Well, I just put a plug in there right there. Adults shouldn't snack.
So what? What?
You hear him?
Yeah.
I snack. No, you're right. No, adults don't snack. Can I graze?
Go ahead. if your meals are fully balanced, like the plate method, a quarter protein, a quarter starch, a half a plate of leafy green vegetables or non-starchy vegetables.
I do that.
That meal should last you 4 to 5 hours until your next meal.
I just be hungry in between that.
So that means that's some
with piece of cake.
No, that's something tweaking in your meals that probably needs to be satisfied. Or sometimes when we have cravings, that would be some vitamin deficiency that could be missing.
Okay.
So that could be a fruit or a vegetable that you're lacking in your diet and it causes you to have a sweet craving.
I need a fruit. Let's talk to Dr. Chisholm. Dr. Chisholm Smith. How are you doing? Pull the mic a little closer to you, please.
I'm fine, thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. And Dr. Chisholm Smith is a pediatrician, deals with kids, especially kids with diabetes, and you work at PMH and you also work at the walk-in clinic. You've decided to partner with Bahamas Diabetes Association to concentrate on kids who are living with diabetes. Now, I have type 2 diabetes. I understand that. But now I'm reading up the bio and the narrative. You're saying that kids has type 1. I need to understand the difference between type 1 and type 2. And for parents who are not aware that their child have diabetes, what should they be looking for? And when they find out that their child has diabetes or suspect that their child has diabetes, what should they do? And then we can move on with the CAM thing.
So, Mr. C.A. Nuri, for having us on the show, I'm representing the Kids with Diabetes Support Group. So, basically, Kids with Diabetes Support Group has partnered with the Bahamas Diabetic Association, with them being the parent group for the Kids with Diabetes Support Group. So in regard to your question, the majority of children that have diabetes have what we call type 1 diabetes, which used to be called insulin-dependent diabetes or juvenile diabetes. So the big difference between type 1 and type 2 is with type 2. Type 2 is usually developed because of lifestyle, mm-hmm. excessive calories, excessive sugar, sedentary lifestyle. However, with type 1, it develops because the pancreas is destroyed by the immune system. So it's not based on the lifestyle. It's not based on eating too much candy or too much sugar. And that's a misconception a lot of people have because they think all diabetes is the same. So what happens in the bodies of these kids, for whatever reason, their immune system sees the pancreas, which is normally responsible for making insulin. It sees the pancreas as being something foreign. So it slowly destroys the pancreas. And at one point, they cannot produce any insulin at all. So all kids who have type 1 diabetes actually have a lifelong dependency on insulin. So they have to inject insulin before every meal. So it can be quite arduous and difficult for the children and these their families.
Mm-hmm. So I know that women in pregnancy can develop a type of diabetes. So two questions. When they deliver the child, does the diabetes disappear? Does it resolve itself because the quote-unquote tumor has been removed? Can the child in womb then also develop diabetes because it's in the womb while the mother has diabetes? And what about menopausal women? Is there a risk of women developing diabetes while they are transitioning through menopause?
Okay, so addressing the first question, so what you're speaking about is gestational diabetes. Mm-hmm. So it's not possible for the mom to pass on diabetes to the unborn infant.
So I can make a whole baby and I have to keep the diabetes?
Usually, actually, gestational diabetes, usually it mm-hmm. resolves after the delivery of the baby.
Okay.
However, in about 25 to 50% of those women, they may later develop type 2 diabetes.
Okay.
But usually, at least transiently, the majority of gestational diabetes resolves after the infant is delivered. So the type 1 diabetes is not related to gestational diabetes or diabetes during pregnancy.
Okay. Now, the menopause part. Am I at risk of developing or getting diabetes while I am experiencing menopause?
I am not aware of any association with menopause and developing diabetes. I'm not certain, but I'm not aware of that association.
Okay. I just check in for the future.
I understand.
But Dr. Chisholm-Smith, the kids with diabetes support group is about. I want to get a narrative of like when they meet, what it is, how do you join that?
Right.
So, and then we can start talking about this club.
Okay, so the Kids with Diabetes support group is really a support for both the kids with diabetes and their parents. Like Mr. Forbes was saying earlier, diabetes affects the whole family. And especially when you have a child with diabetes. We've had children diagnosed as early as 1 year of age with type 1 diabetes. So it can be very, very stressful on the family and the child themselves. So what the Kids with Diabetes Support Group does is we would like to offer education on how to manage diabetes, also offer psychological support for both the children and the parents who may be struggling with the diagnosis and managing the diabetes in general. Also, the social support is very important. Many kids with diabetes may not know any other child who has diabetes because it is relatively rare. And they feel like they're going through the whole situation all on their own. But when they all come together, like we're doing with the camp, and when we have our monthly to actually see and interact with other children who are going through the same thing, other kids who have to give themselves insulin, who have to watch everything they eat. So just that social support is so important. And so those are the ways that Kids with Diabetes wants to support these families.
Okay. Mrs. Forbes, when is the camp?
Mr. Forbes.
Okay. The camp will be held on June 30th to July 4th from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m.
So that's like 2 weeks time?
One week.
Give me the date again.
June 30th.
June 30th.
That's from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. to July 4th.
To July 4th.
Yes.
And that's a week-long camp?
A week-long camp at St. Gregory's Heineken Church Hall, Uncle Michael Road.
Uncle Michael Road. Is any price for that? I remember saying, I already tell people it's free.
It's free of charge. It's free of charge. We'll I don't know if you want to thank an opportunity for our sponsors, but the Healthy Bahamas Coalition.
Call them all off.
The Healthy Bahamas Coalition, along with the Ministry of Health, was very gracious of us to partner and collaborate with on the Bahamas IB Association to put on a Kids with Diabetes camp.
Okay, the last day of camp is July 4th. Yeah. That's big, you know, our cousins, that's big party day.
Yes.
And we have to party with our cousins because you have a birthday. I have none. That's why I celebrate with you. What type of food options will you have available for this big celebratory day? You know, what are the things that people who have restricted diets, restricted sugar diets, what do they?
Well,
what do they eat?
I can speak a little bit on it, but I know Dr. Chisholm speaks to that on a daily basis. But for most persons, you just want to have a balanced diet. And then the main thing is carb counting, especially for type 1 diabetes. And so you want to make sure that you have sufficient insulin to match the amount of carbs that you will be ingesting.
All right. So what are you going to replace my hamburger bun and my hot dog bun on hamburger and hot dog day?
Well, it doesn't necessarily have to be replaced. It could be the portion size. Mm-hmm. So maybe it's, instead of a full burger, it could be a half a burger. Sometimes you can replace it if you do choose. It could be a lettuce bun. But we all need carbs to turn into energy. So right. Carbs are still important.
Right.
No matter the consistency of the food, thinking that it delivers treatment. It actually contributes to diabetes. Carbs are good for you, but it's just in the right quantity and the type of carbs.
And what about time of day? Mm-hmm. Right? Like for diabetics, is there, like in terms of, okay, so we know what types of food we consume.
Mm-hmm.
What about shifting the culture on how we consume and when we consume food? Is that a big part of managing a person living with diabetes this day?
Yes, most definitely. That's why, I don't know if you heard earlier, but I was speaking to Senior and I told him about balancing your meals as well as spacing them out. Most of the time, our foods are digested between 4 to 5 hours. And so therefore, when we eat, we should eat between 4 to 5 hours for that next meal. So our breakfast, lunch, and dinner should be equally spaced out to improve digestion as well as improve the overall body function.
One more question. Mm-hmm. Now, when I was little growing up, mm-hmm. I'd eaten and I could have something to drink, and my auntie would say, no, you can't have a drink now. You have a drink after we eat the meal, right? And I'd be like, no, I may choke. I need water. And she said, listen, drink while you're eating because putting the liquid in your stomach will change the chemical makeup of the stomach. So while you're eating, the stomach is in let's digest all this food mode. If you pour liquid in, you may dilute the stomach acids who are busy digesting food. Is this an issue for people with diabetes and processing sugar?
I'll let you take that one.
Right. I don't think the timing of when you drink the liquid is so important as to what that liquid is. Okay. So in our Bahamian culture, we love to drink things like soda and other sweetened beverages along with our peas and rice, macaroni, coleslaw.
Cereal. No matter anything.
Right. No matter what it is. And with drinking these sugary beverages, you are drastically increasing the amount of carbs for that meal. And like Mr. Forbes was saying, we need to learn how to portion out everything, portion out the proteins, portion out the carbs, portion out the green leafy vegetables. And so drinking your carbs is not a good idea. You should eat your carbs as opposed to drinking your carbs in the form of these sugary beverages.
Could I negate the power of the sugar with increased exercise? Okay, I'm going to drink this soda, but I'm going to run 10 extra times around that track. Does that make sense? So I need to wipe that foolishness out of my head right now.
It definitely helps with managing the sugar that you consume, okay? Everything in moderation, but definitely exercise is good for managing sugar because the exercise causes the muscles to use up the sugar that's in the blood to keep your sugar balanced.
All right, but don't use it as a tool to overeat.
Exactly.
Right? Don't say, I can eat all this food because then I can exercise.
Moderation.
Stick with my moderate diet and then also exercise.
Right.
Okay, so let's talk about what will happen during the camp from that 9 to 1 for that week. 9 o'clock, I show up. How do I register someplace? What do I do?
Right. So the camp, first of all, we want the camp to be safe, number one, for these kids who have a particular medical need. But secondly, we also want it to be fun because we want them to feel like regular kids going to regular camps. So
what's the age?
The age is as young as 4 years old, but they have to be potty trained and able to follow instructions all the way up to 17 years old.
Okay.
So it's for young kids all and the teenagers as well. So we have a lot of activities planned for them. We have crafts. We have trivia trip planned to Atlantis. We want to thank Atlantis for donating.
And it's free?
It's free, absolutely free. We have a virtual field trip planned by Brief. Again, we want to thank Brief. And all of this has been sponsored by these organizations. So games, fun, trivia, and, of course, also education on how to manage their diabetes.
So you have my child there from 9 to 1.
Mm-hmm.
You can feed them?
Yes. So we have our dietitian specialist on board that's a part of the Bahamas Diabetic Association that has arranged the entire menu. So we make sure that these kids who have, the again, special needs and this special condition, that they're going to be eating well at this camp. So it's not going to be a bunch of cotton candy and everything. We're going to have some fun foods for them, but in the right proportion so that their diabetes is well controlled.
People like me who people know, I see a Nuri, can I, because I get off at 12, can I pass by to get a like nutritious, no?
I don't think so.
Listen, because right now all I'm thinking about is I see one recipe, you take the zucchini slices and you put them on the parchment paper and then you shred the cheese on top of it and you put it in the baker. And then that's your bread for your pizza or for your wrap. I bring in that to put either that or a piece of lettuce, like the romaine lettuce. Right. People have started supplement or replacing the carbohydrates in sandwiches, right? Because if you're eating a burger, you already have too many struggles. Let's get rid of one of them. Yeah. They can replace the buns with mushroom caps or for a hot dog, or like tuna salad or chicken salad, they take the romaine leaf, they take off the entire leaf, the length, and they wrap the hot dog with the leaf, or they fill it with the, Mr. Nuri, that tastes good. I don't know why your face is looking like that now.
I'm thinking now, what about people on the family island? They can miss this.
No, they will not. This is opened to the family island.
How you can get it's, family island people here?
So actually, we actually have a potential sponsor. I don't want to say anything yet, but if there are any kids on the family islands that's interested in coming, we have a potential sponsor pay for the airfare. We cannot pay for accommodations, but if you have family living in Nassau that you can stay with, please send us an email or a WhatsApp. Again, that WhatsApp number is 828-4194, and that email is thebda2020@gmail.com.
That's
please
nice.
Send us a message and we'll try to arrange to get our family island kids over here as well.
Listen, if you work on a mail boat or a ferry, the fast set or the slow set, the number to call is 194 or email them at thebda2020@gmail.com. Because if some kids are comfortable and if their medical routine, right, if their health management allows them to travel by mail boat, they could come up by mailboat and take part in the event.
Yes, ma'am.
And I know there's a new program that you all started, right? This camp for type 1 diabetes for kids, right? Do you all need any more sponsorship or you're straight?
Oh, we can always use sponsorship. Always. Sponsorship for the camp and ongoing sponsorship throughout the year. We still are in need of craft items, general cleaning supplies, storage bins, everything that's going to make the camp fun, even decorations to decorate the hall. So if anybody's interested in donating these items or donating funds to the items, again, call those numbers or email us.
I want to send out a special request to the farmers, to the agriculture people, to the vendors. You see, because this is where you're going to find your market. This is where you're going to begin marketing it, right? Targeting your audience. Breadfruit. Breadfruit is a great replacement for bread. right? Mm-hmm. And a great replacement for potato chip. And thing, because you could roast the breadfruit, peel it, cut it into wedges like you do when you normally deep. They spray it with a nice light oil and then put it in the air fryer on the baker and make your chips that way, right? You know what I do with breadfruit? I get a deli slicer and I slice the big, big boys. And I use those slices as wraps for my tacos, my tortillas, my sandwich wraps. You pan cook it, and then you wrap it up. We can make bread with the zucchini. Right? With the cheese, you could do like a flat bread or you could make zucchini bread. So they're farmers, especially my healthy set them out at Gladstone Road Farmers Market. The number to call is 8284194. While you are of service to this community, you may find customers, right, that you could sell to. And that's just two things. That's just zucchini and breadfruit. Mm-hmm. We got plenty more we could work with.
Yes. And I know Dr. Chisholm-Smith soon have to go. She has a patient she says she got to run to, right? And I want to thank Mr. Forbes for coming through. But I want to do a rundown again of time, place. And I also want to know, I know there's like I wouldn't say the words epidemic or type 2 diabetes inside the country, but it's a prevalent here. Is it prevalent to see young people in the Bahamas with type 1?
Okay, you mean type 2?
Well, you know, okay. I mean, type 2, I assume that's a habit, but to be born with this diabetes thing, is that popular or that's something that's a rare occurrence?
Okay, so let's talk about both things because both things are completely different. So type 1 is relatively rare. We estimate that we have about 100 to probably 150 children in the Bahamas living with type 1 diabetes or diabetes in general. And the vast majority of the children with diabetes have type 1. I would say about 80 to 90%.
Okay.
However, with the obesity epidemic that is occurring, we are children being diagnosed with type 2. So I would say about 30 years ago, type 2 diabetes in children was almost non-existent. Now it is relatively common to see a 14-year-old, a 15-year-old being diagnosed with type 2. And those patients are the ones with lifestyle problems, obesity and sedentary lifestyle, okay, like their adult counterparts.
Then we have this thing that people are loosely calling type 3 diabetes as they explore links with diabetes and Alzheimer's and dementia. And I just wanted to say to the people, like, if you like me and you 49 and you feel like you survived, like you escaped the sugar war and you didn't, you know, you didn't come out with any injuries in type 1 or type 2 diabetes, that's no excuse. You still have to manage your sugar because it's possible that you may develop Alzheimer's or dementia because of that excess or that culture of sugar consumption when you were younger.
Okay, so I want to hear more about the Bahamas Diabetes Association one more time. How do I contact you to get that? I can join, right? You say pay $35 and that's for the whole year?
For the whole year.
No, do your whole spiel. Do that whole thing again.
All right. So the Bahamas Diabetes Association membership is $35. That's less than $3 a month. We can all pay for that for one lunch. And you'll always eat that out or drink it out, we say, at the Diabetes Association because we do feed and treat you well there.
Your functions?
Yes, we do.
And the $35 cover that, or that's just to be a member?
That covers it. And any additional...
They could afford it because they don't serve snacks, Mr. Nuri.
They just eat some more food.
But they don't serve snacks. Food,
right? Yeah,
snacks.
Right.
So I can pay for that. Yes. Yeah, might as well pay for that in advance. That's good. For the whole year.
For the whole year. So our email address is gmail.com. Mm-hmm. Our WhatsApp number is 828-4194. Or you could like and follow and share us on Facebook at the New Bahamas Diabetes Association.
And the Kids Diabetes Support Group, Ms. Dr. Talika Chisholm. I got to remember all the names, Smith, right? Where do you meet and how do I have my child or the parents join that?
So we meet the same place as the BDA because they are our parent group. So it is at St. Gregory's Church on Carmichael Road. And again, you dial the same numbers, the same email address to contact us. And again, the Kids with Diabetes Camp will be June 30th to July 4th. It's free of charge.
Free.
For all kids, only kids with diabetes, though. You have to register. The registration actually closes on June 13th.
That's a couple days.
That's a couple days from now. We have limited spots, so sign up right away. We have about 50 spots in total, and we are more than half at capacity. So if you have a child or a relative that has diabetes, please let them sign up as soon as possible. And you can go on the new BDA Facebook page, and the link to sign up is there as well.
You say from age 4?
4 to 17 years old. 17.
And you have all kind of activities happening for this week-long camp.
Yes.
And I ain't got to pay.
And you ain't got to pay.
And you'll be feeding the children.
Yes.
And it'll be safe.
And it'll be safe.
Right.
And you have activities.
Right. And I just want to stress the safety aspect. We have nurses and physicians that will be there throughout the entire camp, making sure that their blood sugars are checked, making sure they're eating what they're supposed to eat. So in addition to nurses and doctors, there'll be laypersons there playing with them and doing the regular kid stuff as well.
One out of four is living with diabetes. I would like to send the other three kids to camp as well so that they could begin to understand why we're going to have this massive culture shift inside my household. I could send them, but those other three will have to pay a fee because they are not living with diabetes?
So, unfortunately, we only have 50 slots.
Okay.
So,
and
if
you want to prioritize all
so
kids with diabetes.
So, we will prioritize the kids with diabetes. If there are some slots remaining, we would accept siblings of kids with diabetes. But on that point, for our monthly meetings, we definitely welcome the relatives of kids with diabetes to come to our monthly meetings. So, the whole family, so the parents, the grandparents, the siblings, all will get to learn about diabetes.
All right, so the
management.
Monthly meetings is the space for that.
Yes.
Parents, don't slunk. Time to sign them up and don't be...
Okay. Yeah, good call.
I would like to thank all of our sponsors. Again, our lead sponsors, Ministry of Health and Wellness, in conjunction with Healthy Bahamas Coalition. And also, I'd like to send a shout out and thank you to Brief, BAF, NIB, Atlantis, Aquapure, Diabetes Education Network, Ports International, Rotary, Doctors Hospital, and Retro Games 242. And I know a few more are going to come on board to help us accomplish this camp and make it great.
Go ahead, Mr. Forbes. Any last word?
Yes, just come on out, support, and let's help advocate and counsel the Bahamas with diabetes.
Good.
And also the walk-in clinic, also a major sponsor. Thank you.
I was going to say he's going to shout your phone number so people come and contact you, but that's okay. This is Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri. We're going to take a quick break right now. Thank you very much, Dr. Chisholm-Smith. Thank you very much, Mr. Forbes. We'll take a quick break right now.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
For fast, reliable, and impactful printing services, look no further. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life. We stand by our quality products that is second to none. Our affordable pricing and friendly, efficient staff makes Printmasters the ultimate choice for all your printing needs. We can deliver any type of printing services, from banners to booklets to business cards. You name it, we can print it.
Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
And welcome back to Guardian Radio AM. I really appreciate the coming on, the Bahamas Diabetes Association coming on, and this camp they are putting on for kids. It's concentrating on kids 4 through 17. At least everything is free. Just go, right? The camp will be from June 30th to July 4th from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. For that week long. And they give information. It'll be a fun camp too. Information about living with diabetes and what they can do and learn about it, right? But I want to talk about NIB. NIB is trending again. And so you have the article, Aaron?
In today's paper?
In today's paper. Something but I thought we were straight. That's why I wouldn't talk about it. And I say, I need those who are listening to hear that, man, NIB might be in jeopardy. I thought we had a plan. I thought we made an increase.
There we go.
Yeah. Front page. I thought we made an increase. We had made several increases because we know that NIB has been challenged for a while, right? It didn't come to a surprise. We knew it for the last 20-odd years, 25 years maybe. And so when the last announcement with the increase said, well, we have a plan, right? I didn't expect to say, man, we short again. I thought we just follow the plan. But I want to read about it so we can have that discussion.
I want to apologize because maybe my irreverent satire sort of elided. We missed that point. So when they instituted the increase policy, they instituted the increase, I think, last year, July 1st or something like that.
Yeah, there you go.
They did indicate that the policy would require not just one increase, but a series of increases.
But we had a plan.
Right, but I don't think that this headline or this statement negates the plan, at least from my recollection, while LaRota, when Minister LaRota was responsible for it, he emphasized the need to acknowledge that it's not just one increase, that it's going to require a number of increases till we get to some semblance of
balance. And how I interpret it, and I might be wrong, is that despite the plan, this is evident.
Okay. I appreciate that critique.
Yes, that's my concern.
That there's something wrong with the plan itself.
Okay, or the plan that has not been implemented because we're supposed to be on a regiment to catch up, maybe not this year, not 20 years. Maybe,
no. Right, but because that's of great concern. Is it that the plan is ineffective or has the plan not been implemented? And how could you not implement the plan, but you implement the increase?
There you go. So I want you to read that so we can find what happened.
NIB facing huge deficit, $32 million shortfall projected for 2025. Minister of Immigration and National Insurance, Alfred Says, said yesterday that while last year's National Insurance Board rate increases helped to bring in significantly more income, the nation's Social Security fund is still facing a significant deficit, particularly as benefit payouts have also increased. Quote, this policy adjustment has positively impacted the fund's revenue position, generating an additional $4 million per month in contributions, said Sayers in the House of Assembly during debate of the 2025-2026 budget. So that increase has rendered positive results, and they've added generating an additional $4 million per month. Quote, this increase has proven essential in NIB's ongoing efforts to strengthen the financial sustainability of the fund, close quotes. In July 2024, NIB contribution rates increased by 1.5 percentage points. Sayers said it was just a part of a comprehensive range of initiatives aimed at reforming NIB that were undertaken over the past year. Quote, the overarching objectives were to improve the efficiency and effectiveness of NIB's processes, to pursue an investment strategy that would ensure maximum return on its investments and to ensure the sustainability of the fund into perpetuity, he said. However, Sayers said that NIB's projected deficit for 2025, quote, remains significant, close quotes, noting it's estimated at $32 million inclusive of the additional income derived from the rate increase. Quote, it is important to highlight that a substantial portion of this deficit, which is $16.85 million, or 50% of the total projected shortfall, arises from the ongoing gap between contributions collected and benefits paid, he said.
Seems like we short.
That the income generated from the increase implemented last year is not sufficient.
So we got to get a couple more increases.
Well, they already indicated as a part of the comprehensive strategy that there would be more increases at a scheduled pace. So like every 2 years, there would be an increase.
And I assume that the increases was to catch up the deficit. But it seems as if we short still in terms of this expenditure in terms of what they coming in.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the deficit is increasing instead mm-hmm. of shrinking.
But they also indicate that like expenditures, what they're paying out in benefits may have increased as well,
mm.
which may be a part of the problem. Just to finish the article, said that long-term benefits, including retirement invalidity, survivors, and assistance, total approximately $156.3 million for the period from January to May 2025, up from $141.1 million during the same period last year. He said that most of the increase in benefit payouts is due to retired pensioners, who represent the fastest growing group of claimants. Sayers said 51,000 people were receiving monthly pensions as of May 2025. As it relates to short-term benefits, which include sickness, maternity, and employment, the payouts totaled approximately $19.1 million from January to May 2025, compared to $17.3 million during the same period in 2024. Sayers said NIB and its leadership are pursuing investments in line with the strategy that is focused on achieving sustainable, inclusive growth while safeguarding its funds.
Mm. We need to work that out. I'm hoping to have NIB still around so I can get my little bit of money.
I have some raccoons in the bush, and
I know
I've been negotiating with them for a couple
of years. I want my pension money, and now. I want NIB money, so it needs to be around when it's my turn. I have another 20-odd years.
That ain't none of my business.
That's okay. I talk about me. You got to think about me.
No, no, I agree. You got to think. Don't rely on me.
I
could be in the bush with raccoons.
I need to make sure they're at least 25 more years for me. For me. So a little concerned. So we need to hash it out. We need to be transparent with what's happening,
mm-hmm.
right? So the Bahamian people can understand if we need to commit more money, right?
Right. I think that's the most important, a very important part, is that Bahamians need to understand what is required of them to make this work. What about our corporate culture? What about our employment culture? What about our labor culture? Right. What about our culture has to shift
mm-hmm.
to make this work?
Yes. I see. What is this guy? Cartwright.
Yes.
Shenandoah Cartwright is in the news. He's saying that, remember, there's a probe.
Beaches and Park?
Beaches and Park.
Mm-hmm.
And he said he's completely clear. I don't know what that means, but he said he's completely clear of that probe. But there were several probes happening. I could talk with Shannon Cartwright in a minute. What happened to you in the food thing? When he mentioned the lady, Holloway's good name.
I tell you, anytime you see these by them cracking jokes in the House of Assembly, whatever they cracking the joke about, it ain't going anywhere.
But at least had a conclusion.
But this is what I'm saying. As soon as I heard them key in, I realized that there would be no conclusion. The key is the conclusion.
What about Lanisha Rowell? Wasn't there some kind of investigation too?
Her matter had, before the courts, had been postponed to 2025. I'm not exactly sure when in 2025 the matter is supposed to come back before the courts, but I do recall the matter being postponed until 2025.
And what about the Rackley lady in Grand Bahama?
Is Urban?
Urban renewal. I mean, you just might say, I'm not trying to put any aspersions on these people.
On the individuals, it's the question of a lack of transparency, right?
I don't know what happened.
Which is detrimental to the individuals involved as well, right? What is the status of these matters?
And the former politician with the generator during
Kay Forbes Smith?
Yes.
What's the status of that matter?
Hmm.
Right? And then when you read into the Cartwright story, right, in both papers, do you understand why you have to ask the question, right? Like, what's happening here? I was troubled when reading. Free National Movement Deputy Leader Shenandoah Cartwright said in the House of Assembly yesterday he was advised that an investigation into the operations at Bahamas Public Parks and Public Beaches Authority found, quote, no evidence, close quotes, that he committed any crime when he headed the agency. Cartwright served as executive chairman of the authority under the Minnis administration. After taking office in September 2021, the Davis administration launched an investigation into the authority's affairs. Yesterday, Cartwright referred to an investigation by the Office of the Director of Public Prosecutions, which he said concluded last October and cleared his name. I just want to stick a pin there. Why are you referring to this thing? Why are you telling us you were advised? Why has it not been a public statement made?
And you noticed that he didn't mention who advised him.
Did the Attorney General's office advise you? Did the Office of the Director of Public Prosecutions advise you? Did your lawyer advise you?
I think
did the AG advise you?
Come October, like last year, October, he realized that nothing was happening. He inquired. He said, man, when this case coming about, oh, what y'all doing with this investigation? He said, man, we ain't doing that no more. That finished with it. That's foolishness.
And he waited.
And I think he waited. He said October, November, December, January, February. And he started talking to himself. These people didn't mention this.
He gave them 7 good months.
He said, well, I go to Labor Day. They mentioned this by Labor Day. I can come to the House Assembly and clear my own self.
Remember I tell you I got a ticket for trying to snitch in traffic?
Mm.
Just on traffic matters.
Mm-hmm.
Just on traffic matters.
You know what they say with snitches?
But the hospital don't have stitches, so I save.
Mm-hmm.
When I went to court to contest, right? I was going before the judge.
Mm-hmm.
I was instructed to go to another office because they didn't have the file.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, at some point, the person said, oh, you could go home. So I said, what do you mean I could go home? It's like, well, to finish, I said, well, shouldn't I get a piece of paper indicating that this matter has been cleared?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, this doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah. 2 seconds.
Like, technically, it never existed.
Mm-hmm.
And it certainly doesn't exist after this point. And the people then look at me like, why would you expect a statement clarifying the status of this ticket, which is now a non-ticket,
mm-hmm.
in case in the future somebody tries to stop you for this ticket?
Mm-hmm.
And there's like, no, you don't. I mean, there's a little more professional than that, but mm-hmm. you just go home.
Mm-hmm.
I need a letter that says this thing does not exist anymore, mm-hmm. right? But I didn't get one. And I didn't want to risk getting locked up demanding that I get one.
Do you remember why Mr. Cartwright's name was called in the first place?
Because the people didn't like him riding on the bicycle like he's some
look what you
old-time UBP person enjoying life.
My point is, there had to be a reason.
Yeah.
And let's say he had no, Mr. Cartwright was not involved in general.
Mm-hmm.
Surely the reason still exists. So so it should be an ongoing investigation to other people.
Right, if I could, he was advised that an investigation into the operations at Bahamas Public Parks and Public Beaches Authority found,
that's
quote,
what I mean.
No evidence, close quotes, that he, like you say, I just wanted to read it aloud he committed mm-hmm. any crime when he headed the agency.
Mm-hmm.
Is the investigation ongoing? Mm-hmm. Why is Cartwright in the House talking about the investigation if the investigation is ongoing?
Mm-hmm.
Has the investigation been closed? Mm-hmm. Has anybody been identified for prosecution, right? Like, I am uncomfortable when somebody gets up in the House and say, like when the Prime Minister came outside that building that Saturday
mm-hmm.
and said, in reference to the Kirk Cornish matter,
yeah.
oh, somebody say the woman recant.
Someone told him that the lady said she impressed more child.
Someone say the woman recant, eh?
Mm-hmm. Someone tell him.
No, don't say that. Don't say, see, you got to be precise, Nuri.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't say someone told him.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember that.
Mm-hmm.
All I remember him saying is, and didn't somebody say the woman recanted?
That sounds similar to what I said, but that's okay. Yeah, that's okay. That's okay.
Don't worry, in a court of law, that is completely different.
I understand. Yeah, we have 2 more minutes. What else is headline?
I mean, some good, not seek re-election. Atlantis offers voluntary early retirement and separation packages to managers. Fire rips through portions of Christ the King Church in today's Tribune. Major, I did not say that in parentheses. Yes, he did. Here's something that troubled me, Mr. Nuri. Here's some headlines. Accused of attempted unlawful sex with 13-year-old girl in Grand Bahama. Man charged with unlawful sex with 14-year-old girl. Man accused of causing dangerous harm to woman. This couple headline. Let's see. Oh, Ms. Wallace has an interesting article in today's paper, Labor Day and Partisan Mockery. RBDF commissions 4 new safety boats. Killarney and Golden Isles constituencies face changes.
How do you know that? Just asking. Did someone come, like the Boundaries Committee, come out and say, by the way, we plan to change some things, to tweak some things? Or they're assuming something?
I don't want to assume. Let me read very quickly. Pressure is mounting for boundary changes in the Killarney and Golden Isles constituencies, with PLP supporters insisting that voter parity must be addressed before the next general election. Although party officials expect changes, no official from the government or the constituency's commission has confirmed any changes or even update public on their deliberations.
So where does the article come from if nobody even hinted that it was going to happen?
Well, pause. Sources close to the matter told Tribune the commission is expected to meet next week. We go to page 3. New voter registration data shows Golden Isles with 7,524 registered voters and Killarney with 7,082, making them the most populated constituencies in the country. What you mean all the people living in Killarney? Where y'all living in Killarney? While Bahamian law doesn't fix a specific voter count per constituency, the Constitution requires boundaries to reflect population size and demands that any major imbalances be backed by compelling practical reasons. PM Davis, while in opposition, supported redrawing the lines in Golden Isles and Killarney, not adding new constituencies, but rebalancing the existing ones. Quote, it doesn't necessarily have to be more constituencies, just has to ensure that the lines are redrawn to ensure parity. And if that is possible by the present numbers, then you have no issues, he said then. But what do they mean by parity? See, that's what I want to know. What do you mean by parity? The amount you want an even balance of birds, lizards, cats and humans in the constituency? Because you couldn't be talking about a balance of FNMs and PLPs.
I'm assuming that the number of constituents in each constituency, I think each normally be 3,500, and this one has 7,000. So therefore, they have to separate it, divide the numbers. That's what I'm assuming. It's a huge constituency. I think that's the largest constituency.
And that's the next question.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do with a problem like Killarney?
That's what the boundary comes.
They're talking about voters, right? They got Killarney has 7,082 voters. That's not residents. That's not people living there. That's just people who are eligible, not just eligible to vote, but who are registered to vote as well. How do you shape up Killarney and maintain parity? Like, how many of the residents are non-citizens?
Mm.
How many of the residents are restricted from voting? And then how are their concerns balanced with the concerns of the voting constituents,
hopefully,
right?
Hopefully, nearer the election. I see it's 12 o'clock now. Hopefully, nearer the election, we can bring the members of the Boundary Commission to explain their job.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, it's an open invitation now. So if they could hear it, they could say, hey, can I come on? Yeah, come on. Explain that to us. You know, give us a narrative. Explain what's your job? What's your role? What's the step from point A to point B now that you say something needs to change?
Right.
What are the steps?
What are these terms? What do they mean in the context of this article or in the context of this statement?
Yeah.
That sort of thing? Mm-hmm. That'd be great.
Yeah. Anyway, this has been Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri. We shall return again tomorrow and have more discussions, right?
Absolutely.
Thank you very much, Aaron. Have a wonderful day. I gotta go pick up this child. Yeah.
I gotta talk to you. I have to take my raccoons to the clinic for
shots?
Yeah, preparation for the new school year.
I understand.
First year in school.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They have antibiotics for them things now.
Yeah, yeah.
That's good. God in Radio AM with C.A. Nuri. Have a wonderful day.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Streaming on GuardianTalkRadio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.